Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
Welcome back to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Nick, and I have got such an exciting guest with me today. I've got the grand champion of the May Challenge, the May Maxine's Challenge. I've got Jackie Watson. Like, this is the grand champion, the winner of the entire thing. She needs no introduction. How are you, Jackie?
I'm good. Thank you, Nick. I'm actually really honoured to have been asked to be part of this podcast. So it's actually stepping outside of my own comfort zone, to be honest with you. I'm probably not much of a public speaker. I actually said to my husband, he's awesome at doing this sort of thing. I was like, can you actually step in for me for this one? Because I don't know how I'm going to do this. But anyway, as far as that goes, it's all part of the Maxine experience and I'll just hopefully grow from it again. So yeah.
Isn't it funny how, like, when you challenge yourself in one area and then you excel, other things follow naturally?
Yeah.
Now you're being
Here's hoping.
Absolutely. Well, so far you're killing it.
Now, cheers.
Tell us a bit about yourself. So, yeah, just where are you from? What do you do for work? Just a little bit about what makes you tick.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I'm 34 years old. Mm-hmm. I live in a beautiful place called Nhulunbuy in the Northern Territory. It's also known as Gove. So for those who haven't even heard of it or are trying to get their bearings as to where this place is, it's a remote town in East Arnhem Land. So it's actually about 1,000 kilometres from Darwin. The only way in is actually a dirt track, which can be subject to closures during the wet season. So otherwise, there is a flight in and out daily, but unfortunately, it can be quite unreliable and not cheap. So we are very, very remote here. There's only about just over 3,000 people that live here. So certainly a unique part of Australia and the world, really.
That's so brilliant. And I mean, the thing is, from that, you would be used to being self-sufficient, wouldn't you?
Yeah, to some degree. It just depends. There's things I absolutely love about this town and then there's other things that you just like. It would just be nice to just have real world stuff. You become a very, we all call ourselves pretty much professional online shoppers because there is no, you don't have a shopping centre here. We do have a Woolworths, but it's on a very, very smaller scale. It's sort of like your medium-sized IGA store, if you know what I mean. We don't have the variety that big supermarket giants sort of have every 10 kilometres, 15 kilometres from each other in the real world, I guess. So, yeah. Well,
that's no excuses for anybody else who's doing the challenge. Look at the results that you were able to get with really limited resources. People will do their prep weeks and say, oh, I can't get this, can't get that. And I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't have had absolutely everything that you may or may not have thought that you needed.
Yeah, I suppose for us, we just sort of plan for the worst case and you just roll with the punches.
I was just going to say, what keeps you occupied out there? Like, you've got a family, don't you?
Yep, I do. I've got a husband, my husband Dave, and I've also got twin daughters who will be 10 next month.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, we've got a busy life here. Yeah. And as far as work goes, I work at a local business, which is a mechanical workshop, car hire. And I just look after the accounts there. So a lot of my day is spent sitting on my backside.
You wouldn't consider yourself to be generally an active person.
No.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So you really would have had to force yourself to move and do things when you were doing the challenge, I suppose, to get it all in.
Yeah, absolutely. And my watch is, I've got an Apple Watch and it's constantly sending me reminders to stand. You've been sitting down for too long, you need to stand. So, which are always good little reminders throughout the day.
Oh, so true, so true. Our devices are so good like that, especially for tracking steps and things and just getting moving because, I mean, you were able to get so shredded. It looked fantastic. I saw the pictures. That's like, whoa. And you can only do that through absolute dedication, including your movement, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't just happen, does it?
No.
And what I love looking at your transformation is you're in the pictures, look relatively small, but the thing is to get to that shred level, it's not easy. But we can talk about that later. But I have admiration for that because I know how hard it is to get to that.
To get there.
No. So tell me, why did you start the challenge? What made you sign up?
Well, there's actually a couple of reasons. First and foremost, my husband, he actually completed the January challenge and he had really great results. And I was actually a little bit envious of the high he was on once he completed it. So I thought, I've got to get me some of that feeling. Thankfully, Dave, he was also keen to back it up with another 12 weeks. So this time we were in it together.
Yeah.
And so I'm so grateful for that because he was honestly, he was my rock through it all. So, you know, what he did, I did, we bounced off each other really well that way. So as far as support goes, that was my, if I had him on my side, I knew I could do anything. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I suppose also with meal prep and things like that, when you have someone that's doing it with you, it helps, doesn't it? Because
big time.
Both on the same mission.
Yeah, that's right. I think back to the 12 weeks that he did at the first challenge and I wasn't a part of that. Mm. And, you know, I was still making dinners for myself and making dinners for the girls. And Dave was sort of still at the table with us, but he was sort of eating his own different foods to us. And I just think the willpower that he even had with that challenge, yeah, I really appreciated it going through our own experience together. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so good. That's absolutely amazing. And now do you guys have a routine that you follow now since doing the challenge or what's happening with all of that now?
We've pretty much just kept doing what we're doing, I guess. Yeah. Like there's no, everything's still the same for us. Now we're at least eating food as a family again, but not much has changed. We're still doing the gym thing. We're still keeping ourselves accountable for all the things that we did during the challenge. It's just you can lax a bit now. It's not so, you're not sitting there going, oh, can't have that. Yeah. I shouldn't have that, which is what you do throughout the challenge. It's 12 weeks. You commit yourself to that 12 weeks. And now that we're out of that, I feel like we can relax a bit. We can enjoy little things here and there and not feel that it's going to make a major difference to us, I guess.
Yeah, it's not time critical to get a specific result, but it's just about sustaining those habits, which is really good because that's the way it should be. It should be really a lifestyle. And then you now know if you're going on a holiday or whatever reason, if you want to do a photo shoot all the way up there, you know how to do it now. You look like a fitness model in your, if there's ever a competition there.
You don't even
need to worry too much about your bikini and tan because naturally it's all happening for you. So you step up on stage.
Oh, that's on a whole nother level.
But you know what? It was quite impressive, I've got to say. Yeah. So yeah, what was your biggest challenge whilst doing the challenge, would you say?
As far as the challenge goes, it was probably still having to cook for my kids. I'm a wog. I love food. I love making food. I love baking food. And most importantly, I love eating food. So I would literally torture myself every Sunday because I'll do up school lunches and make all snacks and treats and stuff for the girls for their own lunch boxes. So I'm involved in this, but I'm not a part of the eating side of it. So that was probably my hardest thing. Yeah. Enjoying the smells and everything else. I took it so serious. I know what I'm like. If I take one bite of something, I can't stop myself. So if I was making a pasta dish for my girls or a risotto or something like that, and it comes down to I just need to taste a little bit just to make sure that it's cooked properly, I would stick the spoon in my husband's mouth and just say, just taste it, because I know that I can't trust myself to not stop at a taste to make sure it's cooked properly.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, to be honest, to get absolute peak physique results, that's the strategy you have to use. So you're not alone there.
Yeah.
That's a champion mindset. And that's why you were the champion of this particular round. That's what it takes. Like if you want to just lose a little bit, tighten up a bit, fine, you can taste it. But the thing is, it's about that dedication. And I'm glad you mentioned it. It's about absolutely every single bite, not wasting, I guess, that bite on that, but using it for your food and your food allocation.
Yeah.
And also just developing those habits, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, our food, Dave was like the master as far as our meal prep goes. We had all our meals 5 days in advance ready to go. So it left us with no opportunity to fail, I guess. And I suppose myself personally, if I'm not ready to go in, if I don't have that meal in front of me ready to go and I'm left with, oh, well, maybe I will just cook this or I'll just chuck that in a pan or if I, you know, a little bit of extra here, if it wasn't already pre-made for me, I know that that's where I could potentially come unstuck when, if all I had to do was look after my kids' meals, that's all that it came down to. Mine was always ready to go. So,
and just like as a little sneaky tip you can give us, when you were cooking and things like that, like how did you actually resist? Did you eat beforehand or did you just, what made you go, okay, I'm not going to do this? Was it just that willpower or were there some tricks? Did you have water before?
Yeah, obviously willpower is the major factor, I guess. I suppose I always had times, like I'd have my breakfast and then when I'd gotten to work, I'd always have to hit 10 o'clock before I was like, that's my next meal. And then when I got home, it would be like, or I'd have lunch at a certain time. It was sort of like, I would, in my head, I just had to reach a benchmark as far as the time goes. And then it would be, that's when you eat. And I suppose it's just distractions. That's when it came to dinner time, knowing full well that I was exposing myself to this food that I wasn't going to be eating. Yeah, I'd just go, you know what, let's all go for a walk before dinner. Let's just get out of the house and chuck our runners on and, yeah, get ourselves away from the where the carnage could have potentially happened, I guess.
I love it. Yeah, so out of training and nutrition, it sounds like nutrition's your Achilles heel. And then like with your training, your trainings, do you enjoy it or was it something that you sort of had to get into or how do you feel about all that side of it?
Yeah, I really do enjoy the fitness side of things. But I mean, with anything, you have your good and your bad days. Some days it's like, I don't want to do it today. And then other days it's like, I could do that twice. So yeah. And on the days that I didn't want to do it, I just still did it. But I just, you know, was at 50% capacity and I always felt better knowing that I'd actually done something. So yeah, as far as the exercise was the easy part for me because I could always adjust the throttle on that. But yeah, it's always the food. The food's always there in the back of my mind going, eat me.
Yeah, but also when you get that lean, you go past the point of, it's actually a physiological response. Like you get bloody hungry.
Yeah.
You get bloody hungry. And like, it's just your body going, where are you taking me right now? What's going on?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it probably was. Yeah, it certainly was very confused, I reckon, a lot of the time. But yeah, we got through it. We worked together.
Yeah. And the thing is like, yeah, so you've had twin girls. So that's the other thing that I love. I mean, being a mum, there was no excuse there either. So in terms of physique and getting body back and things like that, I love hearing from other mums where that's not really a limit, is it? It's not something.
No, well, I suppose probably going back to the why as to why I did the challenge. Obviously, for me being a mum of girls, I do really feel the importance of teaching them about the positive body image and to never underestimate their own capabilities and potential. And just because they're a female doesn't put them at a disadvantage either. And thinking back to me growing up, the generation that I grew up in compared to what my girls are, what they're growing up with now, it's my priorities as a wife and a mum are so different to what my own mum, how she did things. So I honestly believe that once I became a mum and I birthed babies, it was all over for me. So I'd see my mum getting ready to go out and she'd stand there in front of the mirror looking down at her tummy in disappointment and even just joke about it. She'd push and prod her stomach and make comments as you do. Or even, you know, we'd be at the beach and a younger woman would look great in her swimsuit and catch mum's eye and there'd be always comments like, I'll wait until she has kids. Mm-hmm. Things will never look the same. So, yeah, it's as a kid, I never saw anything wrong with my mum's body. She was perfect to me. So I actually didn't quite understand why she didn't like it. But as I got older, I suppose the comments, they stuck with me. So no doubt when I found out I was pregnant with twins, I'd already written my body off as damaged goods. And as far as my journey goes, as far as pregnancy and all that sort of stuff, I actually nearly tipped the scales at 100 kilos at the end of my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, I did have complications with preeclampsia. I actually had to deliver the girl 6 weeks earlier than their delivery date, but I felt as though my body had served a purpose. I had carried and safely birthed two babies and now I just needed to be happy with what was left of me sort of thing. So for me, I just wanted to break that stigma that carried with me as a girl or a teenager, that going through pregnancy, having kids doesn't put you at a disadvantage. And if anything, for me, I feel like it's strengthened me mentally. And if you're willing to put the commitment and discipline with anything in life, it's yours for the taking if you want it enough. it's of no fault of my mum. It's just learnt behaviour. And I really hope that what my girls will take away from my challenge experience, I stuck at it, no excuses, and I didn't give up.
That is so good. Oh my God, I've got shivers. It's speaking to me. I love it. That is going to be the focus of this entire podcast. I'm so happy to hear that. Like, basically, you've changed the thoughts of basically generations, which I love.
Yeah.
There's no limit for women these days. I've also got two girls. So yeah, you're speaking to me with all of that and a similar situation. So I can really relate.
Yeah. I can't be the only one that had those sort of moments in time where you look at your mum as a role model and she's, I suppose in hindsight, I just applaud my mum for everything that she put on hold to become a mum, you know. So
100%.
Yeah, and I suppose back in the day, exercise was considered a luxury. Now it's a necessity.
That's right. And look, sometimes even as mums, we still have to fight for our space within that and go, okay, I'm going to spend time working on myself and there's nothing wrong with that. We still have to almost justify that. And then you either stay there or you step through and you go, this is my space. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my body to all these different places. And say for me, I was like, well, this is just going to be my career. So that's how I got around it. I'm like, I'm going to get paid to do it. So then nobody can kind of say anything to me because I'm making money. Out of it. So you've got to find ways even still. And I can't wait until it's basically essential for women where people just go, of course you need to do that. This is your space. And people like yourself are the sort of people that are going to inspire other women to go, I'm going to claim my space. It's even sort of, as you said, it ties into even the food thing. We're often cooking for our families. We've got to have so much discipline throughout the whole lot of it to actually get our own selves together as well within everything else. So it takes a lot, but once it's about having that discipline, claiming your own space and knowing your weaknesses and getting that sort of support to help you through that bit as well. So and if people don't have the support, it's still possible, but you just have to fight for your space.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to other challenges that are maybe just starting off? We've got the 6-week challenge. It was week one this week. There's a lot of new people, a lot of people that have maybe that are in similar circumstances where they have a lot of weight to lose after just having children or have never exercised. So what would you say as the grand champion?
Mindset. You got to get your head in the game. You got to commit 100% and you will smash it. Your brain is the, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest muscle in front of my whole body, because that's where you need to get it right. You need to change your outlook and approach on everything. So instead of thinking I have to exercise, it's I get to exercise. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lift these weights. It's my body is strong enough to lift these weights. And this food tastes like ass. This food is good for my ass.
So, oh my God, I love it. Yes, queen.
That's right. Food is fuel. So this is going to give me the best mileage. So just, get yourself in that head game. Don't see it as something that you don't want to do. See it as something that you have the honour of doing. And definitely, like you said before, surround yourself with like-minded people. I could not have done it without my husband, like I said before. Yeah, he's honestly got the meal prep down to a fine art. And, as far as I'm concerned, the food was the hardest part for me. So the fact that that was taken care of, made a world of difference. And thankfully I've got two gym buddies, Ali and Tamara, who were also completing the challenge, the 12-week challenge with me as well. So they kept me accountable. I kept them accountable. If you were having one of those days where it's just like, oh man, I'm so hungry or I just can't do it today, they would always flick back with a message just saying, keep at it. That was me last week. I got through it. It's just that constant support and always there to get your head back in the game.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I feel the same way. When you achieve a lot, there is a team behind you. There just is. You have to have people behind you and around you. Of course, it's up to you ultimately, that mindset. Yeah. You have to find like-minded people and people who also appreciate what it takes to put your body through that. So say for you, because you shredded right on up. For some people, they go, oh, my God, that's too much. But the thing is, that discipline and dedication. You have to surround yourself with people that go, that is epic. Look what you can achieve. Because every day there's going to be people that will never be able to sacrifice what it takes to sort of get to that level. But now you know. It's almost like you have to now step out and help others get to that point as well, because not many people get there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, it wasn't easy, but the information is there, obviously. But the challenge is so successful for a reason, and it's you stick with it and that's the outcome that you have. So,
well, I know that you're a private person, but pop into the Facebook group every now and then. And
I know.
You'll get fans. Everybody will be obsessed with you.
Yeah, I've actually been really overwhelmed by once it obviously got announced. And I did actually, I think I must have done a post just before it actually finished. I just put a post up there just saying, hey, this is me and I've been watching from afar. And it's that, I suppose that last week, it's that overwhelming feeling of, holy crap, we've done this, guys. And I just thought, I'm just going to put myself out there and just, introduce myself and let you know that I've been here just watching from afar. But, yeah, since then I've gotten so many messages and private messages from people saying, wow, what's your Instagram account and all this sort of stuff. I want to follow you, which I don't actually have. I'm only, like you said, I'm relatively private. But I don't know, maybe watch this space. It's been very humbling to get this support from people and, had no idea that I had inspired many others, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the catch with when you sort of unlock the secret, which isn't really the secret, it's just unlock the power in your own mind. Then it's like you have the responsibility to kind of sort of help others in a way and just sort of show the way, because now you're a leader.
Which
is so good. Like, well done to you. I take my hat off to you. I love that kind of a transformation. I just love that kind of thing, because that's the next level. That's what it takes to get to the next level. And it's like what you've highlighted in our chat today. It's that discipline. It's that looking at food a different way. It's that knowing your weaknesses and kind of like creating strategies to not let that overcome you. This is 101 today of everything that I wish everybody would do, but it's amazing. So thanks so much, Jackie, for chatting to me today. I mean, there's just so much information in this, and I think that your entire family will be so proud when they listen back.
Thank you. And it is so important for, our kids and our family to, I think as, again, going back to the mum thing, as a mum, you take a bit of a backseat when it comes to your kids. You're so proud of their achievements and what they're doing, and you're so involved in all that sort of stuff. It's important for them to actually see you succeeding and you sticking to something and hitting your goals, because it's all a team at the end of the day. They can't achieve without a supportive parent. And as a parent, you need them on your side to be able to make sure that you can follow your own goals and dreams. So,
it's so important. Even to this day, I will call my mum if I get a PB in the gym or whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I did this. She's like, oh, that is so good. And that's like, after, 10 years of working in the So the thing is, we need to, inspire people and be inspired by people. And really, like, as women, when we are strong and when we can do this, we need to show others that everybody can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing stopping you apart from yourself.
Yep. Well, you're a legend. Thanks for chatting to me today.
It's been great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.